Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 7th, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, well, let me change the page here I'm showing. All right, tonight we're going to take a little bit of a detour. We've been reading in the Gospel of John, and I think we're moving into John chapter 12. Let me take a quick look. Yeah, we're going to read John chapter 12 tonight. But I want to take a little bit of a detour and read a prophetic book out of Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 14. I've thought about playing this particular recording of Isaiah 14 quite some time ago. And prophetic books are very difficult to read and understand. You have to appreciate the fact that, you know, everything you're looking at is pretty much a parable in the prophecies. And in order to understand that parable, you have to interpret the words of those parables in light of the words of the Bible itself. In other words, the Bible is its own interpreter. But in any event, I'm not going to make this a Bible study or anything. I just want to play the recording here as read by Alexander Scorby on Isaiah chapter 14. But I do want to say a couple of things so that people might have a better appreciation for what we're going to be reading here. Quite some time ago, as I mentioned, I've kind of discovered this chapter and pondered it for many, many years. And I believe I understood it for quite some time. And I think, when Trump became president, it started to, you know, come to a realization that possibly this scripture is about to be fulfilled. And most of the prophetic books really is spiritual fulfillment, although a lot of people look at a lot of physical things. It's really spiritual. But there is a physical side of things on the prophetic side of the books. A couple of notes before we read this chapter. Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel. Jacob is a picture of Christian prior to being born again. Israel, when Jacob's name was changed to Israel, is a picture of Christian once he becomes born again. The strangers, so there are three persons focused in here other than Satan, but strangers, ultimately, they are people who are kind of under the hearing of the word, but not necessarily Christians. They haven't made a decision one way or another, but they are under the hearing. And then there is the strangers. And the strangers are those who are willing to participate, as far as in our case, in our government, in our republic, participate in a way that, even though they're not Christians. So Christianity is open to all people when it comes to a true republic, because a true republic, of course, identifies with the Word of God. And one of the things we're going to look at tonight is Christianity in America, particularly within our founding fathers, the days of our founding fathers, what they had to say and what they were thinking concerning Christianity and what this republic actually means. And so it is extremely important to realize that, you know, all that we are as a republic comes from the Bible. And I think that's going to be pretty clear, or a lot clearer than it would have been after we start looking at some of these quotes by our founding fathers. But first, we're going to go again to the reading of Isaiah chapter 14. And next week, we'll go back to the Gospel of John. So Isaiah 14, let me open up a page on that. Anybody that's following on the browser, be able to read along. And this, again, is being read by Alexander Scorby. Isaiah chapter 14.
Chapter 14. For the Lord will have...
Oh, there was one other point I wanted to make, again, that will help to clarify maybe the meeting, and people are going to have to ponder that themselves and think what they want to think on this. But when there is a verse in here that comes up and talks about a man or Satan being referred to as man is narrowly looked upon. And when we look into the meaning of those words using the Bible to interpret itself, it identifies ultimately with judgment. To be narrowly looked upon is to be considered for the point of judgment, like in a court of law. You know, a jury would be sitting there considering, narrowly looking upon the individual for innocence or guilt or whatever it might be that the person is being accused of, guilty or innocent. Okay. With that, we'll go forward.
Chapter 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou, whole Palestina, art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it.
Okay. All right. As I mentioned before we started reading that, we're going to take a look at Christianity in America. And again, our founding fathers have had a lot to say, and of course the construction of our republic is built upon Christianity, ultimately, of course, the Bible itself. We were formed out of the first five books, particularly of the Bible. But anyway, we're going to take some excerpts out of my book, Government by Consent, and read through some of these different quotes that our founding fathers had concerning our republic and who we are as a people, what our heritage is, how the United States was truly founded. So I'm going to follow along. Like I said, this is excerpts from my book, so I cut and paste pieces of that together and on this page so you can follow along as it's being read. America was founded upon Christianity. America was born when we the people discovered that rights come from nature's God, and decided it was time for men to rise up to secure these rights at any cost, because it was the right thing to do, and that the governor of the universe is the rule, the American courts. Thus began a radical shift in political thought. Individuals are not given rights by a government or king. The power of that government or king must be justly derived from the consent of the governed. Rights would no longer be given to the people by the government. The government would be given limited rights from the people. America would be a land of freedom and opportunity with minimal government intrusion, a limited central government that would simply protect the people and maintain a safe environment for them to pursue happiness in any way they saw fit. And so the purpose of America was to free the people from tyranny in the 13th and now 50 United States. And through that accomplishment, free the people of the world. And by the mercy of God, this could still be possible if we acknowledge the King and ask, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, and he will answer. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. James 1:25. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalms 50, verse 15. Original source of authority. In this fashion, the United States of America was sanctioned by God and founded upon common law, which are self-evident truths in that all men are created equal, being endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, and no man is greater than another, whereas we read, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall be seen most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new gods for their future security. The United States, the New Israel. At its founding, the land of America was looked upon by many as representing a new Jerusalem, and or a city upon a hill, and or a new Israel, drawing from 2 Samuel 7, verse 10, where God said, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." As time went on, some of the founding fathers of America used biblical metaphors and word pictures to describe the new land. On July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress instructed Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams to design a seal for the United States. Jefferson was more ambitious and proposed design for both sides of the seal. Jefferson wanted an illustration of the Israelites' exodus out of slavery and bondage from Egypt for the front of his seal. Jefferson had a disdain for the institution of slavery. In Virginia, the emancipation of the slaves was illegal, and he refused to sell his slaves. Therefore, Jefferson fought unsuccessfully to change the repugnant law in Virginia, twice as a legislator and once as a governor. In his draft of the Declaration of Independence submitted to the Continental Congress, he listed one of the crimes of the kings as forcing the institution of slavery on the colonies in America. In this draft, he described slavery as a cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred right of life and liberty. For the backside of the seal, Jefferson proposed an illustration of Hengist and Horsa, 5th century Saxon warriors from Germany. They came to England as mercenaries to help the Briton tribe defend themselves against the rival tribes of the Picts and the Scots. Franklin had a similar idea to Jefferson's and wanted to illustrate a scene from the Exodus of the Israelites. The seals would show Benjamin Franklin's design portrayed Moses parting the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his chariots being overwhelmed by the waters, with the motto, "Rebellion to the tyrants is obedience to God." Thomas Jefferson became so enamored with this motto, he incorporated it for his own personal seal design. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia predates the Revolution. The Pennsylvania Assembly had the Liberty Bell made in 1751 to mark the 50th year anniversary of William Penn's 1701 Charter of Privileges, which served as Pennsylvania's original constitution. The following biblical verse is on the bell, Leviticus 25:10. "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all of its inhabitants thereof." No one can deny that many of the founding fathers of the United States of America were men of deep religious convictions, based in the Bible and their Christian faith of Jesus Christ. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, nearly half, 24, held seminary or Bible school degrees. The following Christian quotes of our founding fathers will give an overview of their strong moral and spiritual convictions, which helped form the foundation of our nation and our government. Religion and law and government. Congress and President George Washington in 1789 passed the United States Annotated Code, Article 3, which states, "Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged." George Washington, "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion, to the distinguished character of patriot. It should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." George Mason, "Every master of slaves is born a petty tyrant. They bring the judgment of heaven upon a country. As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be in this, by an inevitable chain of causes and effects. Providence punishes national sins by national calamities." John Adams, "Suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obligated in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence towards Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be." John Adams, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the only principles in which that beautiful assembly of young gentlemen could unite, and these principles only could be intended by them in their address or by me in my answer. And what were these general principles? I answer, the general principles of Christianity, in which all these sects were united, and the general principles of English and American liberty, in which all those young men united, and which had united all parties in America in majorities sufficient to assert and maintain her independence." Adams, in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, "Now I will avow that I then believe, and now believe, that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence of the attributes of God, and that those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system." Adams, in a letter to his wife, Abigail, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that I will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forever." Thomas Jefferson, "God who gave us life gave us liberty, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ." John Hancock, "Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave, and no man ought to take from us." Benjamin Franklin, "Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, that the most acceptable service we render to him is in doing good to his other children. that the souls of men is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life respecting its conduct in this. These I take to be the fundamental points in all sound religion, and I regret them as you do in whatever set I meet with them. As to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, is the best the world had ever saw, or is likely to see. President Lincoln spoke of his assassination to the French-Canadian ex-priest Charles Chinkwe. He said, "You are not the first to warn me against the dangers of assassination. My ambassadors in Italy, France, and England, as well as Professor Morris, have many times warned me against the plots of the murderers which they have detected in those different countries. But I see no other safeguard against those murderers but to always be ready to die, as Christ advises it. As we must all die sooner or later, it makes very little difference to me whether I die from a dagger plunged through my heart or from an inflammation of the lungs. Let me tell you, I have lately read a passage in the Old Testament which had made a profound, and I hope, a salutary impression on me. Here is that passage, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servants thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy words and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sake and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. After the president had read these words with great solemnity, he added, My dear Father Chirquick, let me tell you that I have read these strange and beautiful verses several times these last 5 or 6 weeks. The more I read them, the more it seems to me that God has written them for me as well as for Moses. Has he not taken me from my poor log cabin by the hand, as he did Moses in the reeds of the Nile, to put me at the head of the greatest and most blessed of modern nations, just as he put that prophet at the head of the most blessed nation of ancient times? Has not God granted me a privilege which was not granted to any living man when I broke the fetters of 4 million of men and made them free? Has not our God given me the most glorious victories over our enemies? Are not the armies of the Confederacy so reduced to a handful of men when compared to what they were 2 years ago, that the day is fast approaching when they will have to surrender? Now I see the end of this terrible conflict with the same joy of Moses at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. I pray my God to grant me to see the days of peace and uphold posterity, which will follow this cruel war. As Moses asked God to see the other side of Jordan and enter the promised land. But do you know that I hear in my soul as the voice of God giving me the rebuke which was given to Moses? Patrick Henry. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. George Washington. The favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. James Madison. We have staked the whole future of American civilization, not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Noah Webster. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. Benjamin Franklin. The worship of God is a duty. George Washington. The fate of unborn millions will now depend upon God and the courage of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die. George Washington. I am sure that never was a people who had more reason to acknowledge a divine interposition in their affairs than those of the United States, and I should be pained to believe that they have forgotten that agency, which was so often manifested during the Revolution, or that they fail to consider the omnipotence of that God who is alone able to protect them. Benjamin Franklin. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to government of any other. John Adams. Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, and if this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure than they have it now, they may change their rulers and the form of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. They will only exchange tyrants for tyrannies. John Adams. The safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and blessings of a mighty God, and the national acknowledgement of this truth is not only an indispensable duty which the people owe to him, but a duty whose natural influence is favorable to the promotion of that morality and piety, without which social happiness cannot exist nor the blessings of a free government be enjoyed. Benjamin Franklin. Nothing can contribute to true happiness that is inconsistent with duty, nor can a course of action conformably to it be finally without an ample reward, for God governs, and He is good. John Adams. Happiness, whether in despotism or democracy, whether in slavery or liberty, can never be found without virtue. James Madison. It is the duty of every man to render to the Creator such homage. Before any man can be considered as a member of civil society, he must be considered as a subject of the Governor of the universe. James Madison. Religion is, or the duty we owe to our Creator, and manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. George Washington. Let it simply be asked, where is the security for prosperity, for reputation, for life, if the senses of religious obligations desert the oaths, which are the instruments of investigation in the courts of justice? George Washington. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. George Washington. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education in the minds, on minds of particular structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. George Washington. 'Tis substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. Noah Webster. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that The Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Noah Webster. The brief exposition of the Constitution of the United States will unfold to young persons the principles of republican government, and it is the sincere desire of the writer that our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament or the Christian religion. Noah Webster. The religion which has introduced civil liberty is the religion of Christ and his apostles, which enjoins humility, piety, and benevolence, which acknowledges in every person a brother or a sister and a citizen with equal rights. This is genuine Christianity, and to this we owe our free constitutions of government. Noah Webster. The moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all of our civil constitution and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. Noah Webster. When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public offices, let it be impressed on your minds that the preservation of a republican God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God's government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. Noah Webster. If citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in the office of the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for the selfish or local purpose. Common law is our heritage. Liberty is our inheritance. We the people have been lulled asleep. We have been robbed and persuaded to sell our birthright. In conclusion, while it is true that there can be no religious test for people to participate in government, or for the people to partake in the blessings of liberty, government is to secure that liberty, not suppress it. Likewise, government is not to acknowledge or require one religion denomination over another. The duty of government is to secure freedom of religion, and not freedom from religion. The separation of government and church is essential, but the acknowledgement of the only one true God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, being his expressed image, is just as essential, without which there can be no liberty. There would be no America. God said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." When men rejected God as king, he warned us in 1 Samuel chapter 8, saying in an allegory, "This will be the manner of a king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and for his horsemen, and shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your godliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day." On the other hand, this brings us to the few who come to the knowledge of truth, and by the mercy of God are motivated by honor and mercy and a desire to ordain justice as king in this world. Such was the divine forces of our founding fathers, and the Father of justice is God. Now, If it be God's will that nations will be brought to justice in time, of which chapters Isaiah 14, 26, and 27, and Daniel 7 strongly states, then nations will be brought to justice. The history and formula of rule by justice is found in the first seven books of the Bible, upon which our founding fathers built the United States of America. Any who deny this fact are simply ignorant of American history, the structure of our government and our courts, and the decline and judgment for the abandoning rule by justice is found in the six books, Samuel 1st and 2nd, Kings 1st and 2nd, and Chronicles 1st and 2nd. This brings us to the question, can the spiritually tattered people of today bear the truth? The very meaning of the word justice is synonymous with virtue, according to both Black's and Brovier's law dictionaries. With virtue being the attributes of God, you cannot find just law without first finding such a just creator, whom our founding fathers found between the books of Genesis and Revelation. And so it follows that if a nation is to be just, as acknowledgement of the sovereign creator who said, "All the earth is mine, all that is born is mine, all that is under the heaven is mine, all souls are mine, all silver and gold is mine, vengeance is mine, and I will repay," must prevail. And then and only then, with a bent knee, will we have courts with liberty and justice for all. It is upon that rock, via the Declaration of Independence, that America was built. If we continue to ignore that rock, America becomes no different than any other nation. Which brings us to the promise of God, whereas he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And only then will justice prevail, which no tyrant can overthrow in the courts of America. This was agreed upon by our founding fathers. Benjamin Franklin said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom." And in 1798, John Adams reiterated that, which he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." America can only be as just as its courts. Thereby, once we humble ourselves and realize that we own no property, not even our bodies, our souls, and that God has entrusted us, not government, to be the stewards of his property, namely our bodies and our souls, therein is found unalienable rights. A nation founded under that premise can never falter or succumb to tyrants so long as they continue to rest upon that rock. A court whose bench belongs to that king will prevail. And as the walls of Jericho fell at the sounding of a trumpet, the voice of God, so shall the walls of injustice fall by the sounding of natural law truths in the king's court. If God can speak into being all things, surely his words of justice will silence the opponents of justice. And silence, when there is a duty to speak, is acquiescence and evidence of their fraud. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, God is King of Kings. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay, Jen, do we have any questions or announcements tonight? Jan, you're still muted. You're unmuted. Terry, are you here?
We do have.
There goes Jan. Go ahead.
One long question. Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you.
Okay. You ready for a long question?
Unfortunately. Maybe we'll break it up in pieces, but let's okay. Go for it.
Okay. This is from the person who was on the 24th Monday call that had a lien put on her property by the IRS and New York State for taxes. She says, I'm not sure what is the role of the court of the Southern District of New York in my IRS and New York State tax liens. I did go to the county clerk and the Manhattan registrar's office to get all the documents they had. I did not go to the court of the Southern District of New York. I'm unsure where to go and what I need to ask for from that court. I'm still waiting for the FOIA and UCC-2 because they were both sent. I filled out the form wrong and had to resend it again and pay again. I also asked the title company what I needed to do to get it removed, and I haven't heard back yet. My real estate closing attorney is pressuring me to give the go-ahead to schedule a closing date on the sale of my apartment for June 16th. Soon I need to let her know if I will investigate and fight the liens and the nature or the name of the liens lawyer. I'm not sure if it's worth exploring and fighting the liens. My feelings are that time is of the essence because everyone wants to get paid off according to the attached draft closing statement. And they need me to go ahead, go forward, and schedule lawyers for the June 16th closing date. On one hand, I want to get out of this situation and be done with it. But on the other hand, I know that the Manhattan Register fraudulently recorded the IRS federal tax lien, and I'm not confident any bar association attorneys will help me get it removed. I need to decide soon on the closing date as to whether to move forward with the RE closing to stop my arrears from accruing. Stop bleeding. On the other hand, I don't want to consent to fraudulently recorded lien and other alleged mortgage fraud issues. According to Mark Christholm, Christopher Videos, the actual mortgage and mortgages are fraud on YouTube. And she gives the link. Another reason that I hesitate to move forward is because I believe we are in a war for our freedom, and paying off these obligations only funds our enemies that stand in the way of our freedom. I understand that our taxes are going to a foreign entity behind the effort to kill us all with the vaccine, among other evil plots associated with the Great Reset. The Bar Association recommended liens attorney I spoke to is Douglas Schnapp. He gave me a free half-hour consultation and needed $5,500 in retainer to discuss it further, and I'm not feeling confident in the Bar Association attorneys at this point. The other person I reached out for help with is Mark Christholm Christopher. I watched many of his videos on YouTube here. In his information, he's in a completely different court system. I'm not sure U.S. legal authorities recognize his court. Attached is the list of questions I sent to him. And she had 20 questions on that list. And she gives his information. It's a tough decision, not sure what to do. I've come this far. My New York City eviction pause goes to August 30th, and it could get extended. My first mortgage COVID forbearance goes to 9/30, and my HELOC mortgage forbearance goes to 7/30, and both could ask for an extension. Part of me thinks it's a significant amount of fraud, so I should not consent to fraud, and I should pursue it. But on the other hand, maybe I should get out of this mess now. What should she do?
Wow, well, there's a lot there. And, you know, I can't really specifically say exactly what anyone could do in that situation. But, first of all, from listening, it sounds like she's in Manhattan. So the Southern District Court would be the Southern District Court down there in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan. And that's where you would go to discover a lien. Anytime there is a federal, and you're not going to find one. What you'll find is with the county, county of Manhattan, or you know, they would file only what's called a notice of lien, which is nothing. It means nothing. It has nothing attached. But somehow they have convinced the federal courts or the U.S. attorneys, whoever, you know, well, U.S. attorneys, I guess, somehow has convinced the counties to participate in their crime and file it as a lien within that county, even without putting a lien there, because there is no proof of a lien, just a statement that in a paper form that is unsigned. It is not sworn to. It's not an affidavit form claiming that there is a lien, therefore serving notice of lien. So really it's a letter to the county serving notice of lien on that particular property, and then the counties give in to them, these clerks, and they file it as a lien and attach it to the property. That's all fraud to begin with. So no lien exists, and there's no affidavit, so there's nothing there. And that clerk, in my opinion, is in jeopardy also of unlawful acts. What I would do, though, and again, you know, you're absolutely right. A bar attorney's not going to help you. You're just going to waste your money, and they're going to lose anyway. It doesn't matter. And they'll, at the end, try to convince you, hey, just do this or do that, and give up all your money, give up your investment, or whatever the case may be. What I would do, and I've been participating in something like this before in the past with a lawyer, actually, and it was a pretty good lawyer, but it was in construction. When you have a whole bunch of people involved and you're trying to keep things together, you can go after the target. The target would be the federal, well, it wouldn't necessarily be the Federal Reserve, but it would be the IRS. It would be the individuals who have participated in the assault upon you, claiming that you owe money and claiming that there's a lien now and all this. And usually it's a group of people, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. You'll find all their names on the paperwork that they've been sending you over the years, because they usually go through this for over years, building their case, because every time you acquiesce to any of their letters or papers and you don't answer them, then you've acquiesced to it, and that becomes part of the proof in the court, and they compile all that, and that they're building a record in order to win the case in a federal court. And in a court that most people don't understand, or that they can challenge the whole process, just under the fact that there is no sworn affidavit in this court to open a court case, so what are we doing here? And that's where the position really would be. But they're counting on the ignorance of people and the ignorance or the participation of the bar attorneys in order to go into the court and be silenced to the bringing up those issues and going forward and being really, the whole case will really be built against you. But what I would do, and again, you can't get a lawyer to do this, and if you're not capable of doing this, then that's another problem. But what I would do is I would sue directly the IRS, and I've done that on a couple of occasions. Not specifically the IRS, but I sued the commissioner of the IRS, because he's responsible for all these things and the processes that they're executing. You know, they're all underneath him and he's or her, and they are participating. But also all of the individuals involved. And again, there's probably about 6 or 7, maybe even more people who have signed off on all these letters. And you'll always find at the bottom an authority, a signature, I think maybe the commissioner or someone, I forget who it was, that's normally on the bottom of the page. But in any event, I'd sue every one of those individuals. I would also sue, and I've done this before too, in my case, banks, in your case, it would be other entities. But, you know, you're trying to sell something, other people are trying to foreclose on. I'd sue everybody. Because by suing everybody, but the target of the case, again, is these people who have stolen your property and committed, or trying to steal your property and committing fraud, that's the target of your case. That's the ones that you really want to go after for a high penalty, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But And hopefully during the course of time you've built a case by not acquiescing to the letters, you know, responding to the letters, asking questions. I don't understand where these numbers come from. Where's your proof? Where's your proof of claim? Where's your authority to be able to go into my banks and get all this information? Who gave you that authority to do that? And there are two forms that they have to file when they do something like that, and especially one for proof of claim. One is 4690, the other one is, which is fiduciary authority to go get information at a bank or someplace like that. And a proof of claim, so one's 4490, the other one's 56, form 56. You just Google that, you'll get it on Google quickly. Of course, they don't exist, so the whole thing is built upon fraud, and your case is upon fraud. Where is the beef? Where is the papers? Where is the filed affidavits that there is a lien? They do not exist. Now, again, the court you want to go down to request such paperwork on you would be right down near Manhattan. And then you would go, and I'd put a letter in, a certified letter, that you've sworn to, and make sure it's certified, return slip, and to the clerk, and... Well, as a matter of fact, even better than that, use the sheriff to serve it on the clerk, okay? Making the point or the fact that in an affidavit form that no such lien exists in the federal courthouse within that, you know, that covers that area, and that there's an error and they need to correct that immediately, or prove that there is a lien because it doesn't exist. So that's one thing I would do. Excuse me. The other thing would be, of course, to file that claim against the individuals that are working for the IRS, and again, by suing all of the other parties, you're bringing them into the case. They can't do anything. Nobody can take anything. Nobody can force a closure on you. Nobody could do anything till that case is completed. That's why you sue everyone, even people who don't deserve to be sued. It doesn't matter. You sue them anyway. You're not going to win anything against those individuals. I mean, you might, if you could build a case against some of them, you could. But your target, again, it goes back to the individuals who committed the fraud and are trying to steal your property and get a piece of it upon the sale and so on. So that's what I would do. And I would build my case upon that. And there are certain issues in there of authority and everything. And they have no authority over the people. I laid that out clearly in a case against the IRS, they have absolutely zero authority. And even the different codes and subsections that they give you don't apply to you. And that could be easily proven and showed if only you have the opportunity to bring that before a jury. Because everybody else doesn't want to hear it. But if you can get it before the jury and you can sue them first. The other thing is the lien, I'm sure it's what's called a notice of lien. No one's telling you there's an actual lien. No one's using those words. Just that there's a notice of lien, and that's part of the process that they're claiming. So anyway, those are the things that I would do. But again, you have to have knowledge of these things. You have to have a little bit of knowledge of how the federal system works and the jurisdictions involved and even some of the different codes that they're using against you. You got to climb down those rabbit holes, and you'll discover very clearly, black and white. It cannot be argued. I mean, you show it to a jury, it cannot be argued. The judge will try to ignore it, and you don't want to go into a court where a judge makes a decision. You want people there and the opportunity to lay these things out. But again, you have to understand these things. You have to be able to articulate yourself right in writing and in words, to be able to defend yourself and beat this thing. And I do believe you could beat this if you do it right. Again, I've done it once where I did beat them. They always try to throw me out of the court. But this one time they didn't, and I beat them. It's an uphill battle. And by putting it off, okay, in this court case, by putting it off, making that suit, and taking every opportunity to exhaust time as much as you can. I'm doing that with a case right now. Just exhausting time, trying to drag it out as far as I can, you should do the same, because I do believe, I am convinced, that before the summer is out, and I think more earlier than latter, that things will get back to normal in the sense that justice will be returned into the courts, many people will be arrested. You know, I do see military action coming to play at some point in time, and we're going to take back America. And then we'll have courts of justice. And on the other side of that coin, we will be in a place where the IRS will not exist anymore. But dragging it out is one thing. And again, you could even win it in court, even in today's environment, if you can get a real hearing by the people. Forget the judge, by the people. All right. I know they had a lot of questions. I don't think we want to go into all those questions. Or is there anything particular that stands out that you might think we might want to respond to, Ken?
No, not really. It was just kind of rambling on, and chitter, I shouldn't I, and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, again, and so I can't really give you specific advice on this. And again, I gave you some ideas and thoughts, but, you know, the knowledge, the ability to be able to do this, because no lawyer will do this for you. And paying a lawyer to do anything is nothing but throwing your money away. It could be a little bit of a gamble in the sense of, trying to drag this thing out to the other side, because on the other side, they would lose. But meaning the other side is that we've got our republic back. And I do believe, just as Trump said not long ago, a couple of weeks back, we can't wait till 2022. America will be lost. It's too late. We can't wait till 2022. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but pretty much those words is what Trump said. And I agree with him. And so I think this is the year. I do think it's going to be this summer, and I do think earlier than later. As a matter of fact, Trump made a statement recently that he'll be back in the office and sooner than you realize, or sooner than people realize, or most people realize, something like that. We are in interesting times and times of change. Change is coming. Okay, there's no other questions, Jan?
No, there were no other questions.
Okay, any announcements or anything particularly?
No, I hope some people enjoyed the Red Pill Expo here last weekend, or at least got on the live feed for it so they could listen to the speakers. They had a really great list of speakers this year, and very germane stuff on COVID and all this sort of thing.
Okay. All right, now I want to remind everybody also, we have a campaign for constitutional sheriffs. We're asking people to buy the book, Government by Consent, for their sheriff. And we will be sending it directly to the sheriff with a letter from another sheriff introducing the book. And that definitely is a prerequisite of building a committee of safety within your county, and that's the other thing people need to be doing and getting involved with. And, you can get things started even if you don't want to lead. You can get things started, and once another person comes in, and another person, and another person, you start discussing who wants to take the lead, if you don't want to take that lead, to be that pivot person to get things going. So people should get involved with that particular campaign for constitutional sheriffs by buying their sheriff a book. And if your sheriff has already bought a book, if someone else has already bought a book for the sheriff of your county, then we'll just move that money to the county next door or some other sheriff anyway. And we'll just take it from there. Please consider donating $5 a month or more if you're not doing that here with National Liberty Alliance. Keep us going. And I guess that's about it. I did sign off on my book. Excuse me. Book is signed off on. They said after it's signed off, it'll be maybe 3 weeks or so. I do have a phone call into them to get more specific. And in fact, I did miss a call at the end of the day today, so I'll have to call back tomorrow and see if they can give me a date of release. They also changed the price of the book. They went up $1 to $45, but we had it $44, and plus with shipping and handling, we put $6 on it. So now it's just $5, but that'll still work for us anyway. That book hopefully is going to be in the next few weeks, and then hopefully Monday I'll maybe have a date next Monday. Gerard, I see Gerard was here, isn't he? Gerard, are you ready to take the controls here? Calling Gerard. You're muted if you're talking. And is Brent here?
He's muted. Yeah.
Gerard's muted, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Well, I presume maybe he walked away from his computer. What about Brent? Is Brent here tonight?
I am not seeing him. I just checked a little minute ago.
All right. Brent, if you're here, pipe in. And if he doesn't pipe in, let's keep an eye open for him. And until he joins us, we'll go on to Q&A. And all right, let's take our first caller. It looks like Kevin from New York. You're already unmuted. Go ahead, Kevin. You got the mic.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You pretty much answered most of my question about the book and when it should be available. I guess next week you'll have a date for us as to...
that's my hope. And, these people have been... I'll tell you, we were supposed to be on fast track, and it's taken so long, and it is kind of depressing. But you know what? Maybe the timing is better now than earlier. Who knows? But we'll see what happens.
Okay, there's a lot of shots here. Waiting. I counted 50 people that ordered the book there, so we're all waiting.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's take our next call. Gerard, you there, by the way? If you hear me, pick
up
the
mic. Can you hear me, Major Tom?
I can hear you. You want to take controls here?
Sure. Kevin's
okay.
Done, right?
Okay. Kevin's done. And by the way, anybody who wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1 to get into the queue. Any questions, comments, anything, *6 and a 1. All right, Gerard, I'm passing it over to you. Brent's not here yet. Jan will keep an eye open for him, and we can, let him go and teach us something on the mic once he's here for a while.
I have a question for you before I take Ross.
Okay.
You know, last week we had a woman on that was pretty knowledgeable, but she made some statements that I wasn't sure on, and I just kind of bit my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that we can't have President Trump restore the Constitution with the military, that there is no provision in the Constitution for that. So I want to answer that, because I don't agree with that,
mm-hmm.
that the president doesn't have the authority to do that. Well, listen, as far as the Constitution is concerned, it's a basic outline. It doesn't give us an ABC 1-2-3 of how to run the government. A lot of what goes on is under common law, which common law is not written down, and it runs under fundamental principles. Those fundamental principles that make our common law true, under the laws of nature and nature's God. And I absolutely do think he has the authority to do that. Just like I said, look, if you had a benevolent king, he would do the same thing. You have to have somebody who takes authority. You know, when you have authority, you have to exercise it. If you don't exercise it, then you don't have it. And we have provisions in our military code of justice for insurrection and for foreign takeover of the country. Now, we've never had what we had. We had a coup, basically. We're at war, whether you know it or not. And we're at a wartime stance here with this. And, you know, Trump never conceded the presidency, and there were lots of crimes that went on. Look, they could have stopped at any one of those junctures. And those dates, there are those, you know, Pence could have stopped it, the Supreme Court could have stopped it, the Congress and the Senate could have stopped it, and none of them did. And all I believe what was going on is Trump was allowing them to put the noose around their neck so that he knew who was on his side. In other words, he had to let them produce the crime before he could give the remedy. You can't. We don't do pre-crime in America. You know, I mean, yes, it was obvious that there was these things going on, but they all implicated themselves by not, when they had knowledge of it, they ratified a false election that they knew was false, that they knew that there was shenanigans going on, that there was foreign governments even colluding in the election. So I don't know, you know, if you want to comment on that, John, as far as the authority in, of the president under the Constitution. We don't necessarily have a written statute for every situation, but you use common sense and common law and the laws of God and nature's, you know, laws of nature and nature's God. That is my answer. I don't believe that you can say the president doesn't have authority to sign an insurrection act and then the military help carry that out. I mean, it's all part of the government. And yes, it does fall under, they do get their authority from the consent of the elected, but that is part of the protocol of what's put in place for insurrection. And I mean, if you don't like that, I don't, you know, look at this country was set up as an experiment. So if you think there's a better way of doing that, then you have to amend the Constitution, is all I can say. So I didn't give a real good answer for that because I was pondering it, and it kind of took me by surprise. I mean, I knew the answer in my heart is the fact that, you know, the way we operate and the principles that we're under, that we just have to exercise them. And you know, a common law has been in place and not for many hundreds of years, and not necessarily written down. And I think that's the problem people have. They're always looking for a specific statute to lean on. It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And there is a common law principle that we can rest upon, and that is for every injury, there must be a remedy. Mm-hmm. And we, the people, clearly have been injured. We're about ready to lose our republic, and we need to fight tooth and nail to do whatever we have to do. You know, there is a precedent, and when there was a time when there was two presidents and a precedent where the military was used, and that goes to the Civil War, particularly with Lincoln. And, you know, I would like to see the National Guard as the front in this whole thing, because that's supposed to be the militia, and that makes it totally legal. But militia or no militia, there is no choice. These are extraordinary situations and times, and we have a serious problem, and we have to, you know, do extraordinary, you know, solutions. And so for every injury, there must be a remedy, and something must be done. Clearly, and we've known about this for a long time. I know you and I know about this for quite some time. I know about it for at least 20-some-odd years now, and you, I think, a lot longer. That there is a conspiracy to destroy this republic, but we do know that the Revolutionary War never ended. It continues and has continued, and in England and others continue. The king, particularly, of course, is what we're talking about, not necessarily the people themselves, but their governments, just like our government, is being controlled by oligarchies. And And it almost seems like there's no way out of it. They got the fingers on the controls. They've got the control of everything, our monetary system, our military, our intelligence. I mean, everything. But right now, Trump has control of a lot of that, and more than they do, I believe. And I do believe that Trump is still the president. This is a military operation. To those of us who have really been watching and listening to alternative news and different places that talk about this stuff, it is quite clear this is a military operation. And this operation started long before this past election. So the military has already been in there. They already know who won. As Trump has said, we got them all. We got it all. We got them. We got it all. He said that while he was still, you know, known to be president. So if the military was involved back then, they know who the president of the United States is. They know about the fraud. They know that a republic is in jeopardy. They have a duty to save this republic. And so, yeah, definitely no doubt about it. Again, I'd like to see the National Guard, as the leadership of that assault upon these people. But we have to use the entire military, because the military as a whole has all of the intelligence around the world, and far more than anyone else. And they have the weaponry. We also have the satellites. We have the Space Force now in play, which I believe was a major move in order to get more intelligence and the ability to be able to capture all of the communications and what things were going on with the elections by using the satellites and the internet in order to perpetrate their crime. So if we're going to stand on a principle that the American forces shouldn't be used on our land to the point of losing our republic, that's insane. So logic itself. But again, we have to search for a remedy. There must be a remedy. Well, we must save the republic. So for every injury, this is the remedy. Go ahead.
I think they did a very prudent thing, because Juan O'Savin puts out a video. There's some woman that interviews him. I'll see if I can find the URL. And he does a very good job of laying out this code of justice and what happens when there's an insurrection and the military is putting it down. That their job is to secure the country first, is to secure, that contract between the people. And then, as soon as they can, they put in a civilian form, for the president, because our government's supposed to be run by the civilians. The president is considered a civilian. He's one of we the people. He's not really one of the military, even though when we're at war, he becomes the commander in chief. But technically, he is the representative of the civilian head of the government. So by keeping him close and putting him in as soon as they can, as soon as they secure things, and as soon as they do their investigations as to what happened, and then going ahead and reinstating that president until such time that either he's declared the president or we have another election or whatever, however we decide to handle it. It's different than like that what's that country where the military took over and they're running the country and they're claiming that they're going to hand it back.
Yeah, that was recent too, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a Mimir Republic, was it?
Yeah, wasn't it an African Republic?
Yeah, I don't know if it was African, but it was something like that. Now, they may have the best of intentions, but you see, they don't have a constitution like we do, and their government is not necessarily... I mean, they're kind of like modeled on our system, because
and that's an understatement. Not having a republic like we have. I mean, we are the only republic that's a natural law republic. The only one, the last one prior to ours was 1600 BC. But go ahead.
So I think the military has already made a decision, and they're recognizing Trump.
I think more than a decision. I think an order has been put forth out long before he left the presidency, and this whole investigation goes back even to the prior election of
I believe you're right, because they watched. The reason they got all the everything on the fraud is because they actually watched it, and Mike Lindell has all the packets that you cannot forge them, you cannot change them. So he has the smoking gun, so to speak.
Yeah, this is the largest sting operation the world has ever seen. And I don't know, have you been listening to a Christian Patriot?
No.
I don't know if anybody's been. Let me tell you, that's some of the most solid news I've seen coming out. This guy is really good. But he always teaches, in his programs, about Christ and everything. But he is focused in on the situation and with Q. Gives a lot of information, past information. As a matter of fact, let me put it up on the board for anybody that wants to add this to the listening pleasure of news here. Let's see, here's the address if people want to, at least the one that I have, to find him. It's on BitChute, okay? He's got some fascinating, solid proof that he lays out almost every day. He's got a report. So it's bitchute.com/channel/ and a whole bunch of letters. Anybody wants to copy that? I'll just read it off for those who don't aren't seeing this on a browser. It's bitchute.com/channel/8 X like an X-ray, J like in Jack, C as in Charlie, P as in Peter, 11, E as in Edward, L as in Larry, 6, C, Z as in Zoo, and U as in Union, /. Anyway, that's on BitChute, and his reports, right? I'm sure he has a website. I haven't really gone searching for his website, but this is his videos that are up on BitChute. And it lays them all out. Well, you can go back and listen to a lot of the past stuff. Fascinating stuff. And matter of fact, today's news, which I had listened to, is 100% proof that Trump is Q+. Okay? He lays out a really good point on that today. So, anyway, I agree. Look, there is no other solution. For every injury, there must be a remedy. We have to search for a remedy. There is no other remedy. Look, we the people, if we took up arms to try to save this nation ourselves, it'll be really, really tough. There'll be a lot of blood, a lot of deaths. Only the military is qualified to be, and we may still lose.
Well, this woman made
the weaponry. They got everything.
She
and
made
they're
the point
shooting up
that
all these people with shots, you
right.
know, and I have a feeling that it's a lot more than just a death shot. I think it could be something tied into a weapon or the fact that just the fact that, hey, we'll keep you alive. We've got to give you a shot every year, and if you better behave, otherwise you're not going to get your injection, you know. I don't know what their plans are. These people are insane.
Well, we know what their plans are. Their plans are to make us slaves.
Yeah.
Cattle. That's basically what
kill
it
us
is.
Off, yeah.
And they want to, and look at the Chinese communists have control over most of our country. They're in our institutions.
There you go. They military have, operation is a necessity.
Yeah, they've compromised all our governors, and much of the Congress and the Senate is taking Chinese money. That's a fact. And that's one of the reasons that it's going to be why it's so hard and it's taken such amount of time to bring them to their knees. It took a military operation, and it has to be done very carefully because it's so deep and so pervasive. It's like when you cut a tumor out. Well, if you cut you don't want to burn the house down to save the house. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. If they went in there slashing and burning and just didn't carefully prepare the people, it would be more the second state of affairs would be sorrier than the first. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's possible because it's pretty sorry right now, you know.
Yep.
But nevertheless, don't forget the president is the representation of the civilian part of the government. Running the government. He's not in the military. And so as long as they have a civilian commander in chief, that holds to the Constitution. That preserves the Constitution.
Yeah, and remember also, you know, Congress is betrayed us. Congress is the enemy. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some good people there. We do know that there are some
you know, like six
people.
Of them maybe.
Yeah. But in any event, they're the enemy also. I mean, They are enemies domestic, working with enemies, foreign.
Well,
and
you're gonna
particularly China. So the military, there is no other way out of this.
No.
And nobody in their right mind would disagree with them. But we do need an individual who is a civilian at the head of that military, and I do believe we do have one, and his name is Donald Trump. And I think he'll stay there, and maybe they will run another election. I don't think they will. I think they'll have to show proof and lay it all out. But even because it's just a waste of time, because they were doing all the work right now.
This egg can be unscrambled because everything is done in real time. The evidence is there.
Oh, yeah. And they picked it, even though they tried to delete some of it, even if they were able to delete a lot of it, and, we already have it in real time, like you say. So
we've got it all.
That's
the electronic stuff. They also have all the fraud that was done with the ballots themselves, with fake ballots, with ballots that didn't have foldings in them, the ballots that were shipped in from China and automatically filled out. They have all that. Then they also have all the people who, when they did the canvassing, I mean, this thing is on every level. They were so crazy about winning where they wanted to win, they attacked the election on every front. Mm-hmm. And we have evidence of all of that, that, you know, they when they did canvassing, they found empty houses without the people there. I mean, there's so much evidence, it's ridiculous. And Trump only needed two states to overrun what they claim that Biden had.
And he's going to win all nine, I believe.
Oh, yes, I absolutely. And so, I don't know.
And some that, you know, even California, you know, and some that wasn't even the considered battleground states.
Right. So, you know, and they have every email, every letter, everything that these congressmen.
And doesn't everything also run through that building out there out west somewhere?
Yeah, Nevada.
Right, everything
that's
runs
the
through
NSA.
That. Yeah,
and I'll
bet you every
that.
Satellite communications and everything, so everything's caught even in there, and another place where it's trapped in.
Yes, no, they have everything. They have every phone call. They have the ability to pull everything up. You know, there's no secrets to that.
So the weapon they created for us will be used against them.
Well, and the other thing is, yes, they have energy-directed weapons, and so does the White Hats. But the thing is I don't care what kind of energy-directed weapons that you have, you cannot subdue a population that has guns and is out there as a guerrilla warfare. It doesn't, like I said, what are they going to do? Burn the house down to subdue the house? It's the same way on their end.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's just that anything that they have doesn't scare me, because whatever weapon they have will not prosper against us. See, I have faith that God's going to stymie them.
Amen. You know, we looked at Isaiah 14 today, instead of reading John chapter, I forget which chapter we'll go. I think we're going to 12, but we did Isaiah 14 because I was doing this thing on Christianity in America, and I think you came in after we had gone through that. But basically, that lays it all out. That's why I know, you know, God, of course, is going to, he's going to be the one to save this nation ultimately. And sure, he uses people to do things or for things to happen or whatever, but ultimately, it is God's. That is going to win this battle for us. And as much as we trust God, you know, as long as we trust God, that's where we can then rely that he's going to do what he's going to do. And after all, you know, he calls us his people. I'm pretty convinced of that we are the new Israel.
Right.
In the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I do think, you know, I think things are going to come together quite quickly now. If you go out and listen to today's Christian Patriots news report, he speaks a little bit about this with you know, the fact that they're going to retaliate, and Q states, make some statements that the people, that casualties will be to a minimum because the people are pretty much protected. So they know what they can do and what they can't do, where the weaponry is, what the focus is. And apparently they have something that can neutralize or whatever.
Part of what they want to do is break our economy down and starve us. They want the food to go off the shelves. The supply chain is severely damaged right now. It's already having trouble getting certain things. I even see it working on cars, that a lot of the stuff is not available all of a sudden. They got all these ships sitting there, and they haven't unloaded them. I don't know, you know, they're
playing. Yeah, there's a trucking problem with that, I'm sure. Are you aware of that? That it's a trucking problem?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I don't know how much of it is.
But they can't move the materials.
Right.
And that's what's clogging, and everything's getting clogged up. It's pretty bad.
Well, they said they had a problem with COVID, and I don't believe any of that crap with the COVID.
When Trump gets in, he'll straighten it out. He's the wizard of these kind of things, you know?
Well, I'm telling you that there's going to be a month or two where people are going to be hungry if they didn't score.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to end up on some kind of lines that they're going to have to put out there to keep us all from starving to death.
Yeah, anybody that's not prepared for 30, 60, 90 days at least with food, I mean, and the ability to survive without having to go to a store is in trouble.
And the other thing that we haven't discussed but is an issue is the fact that this vaccine was a kill shot. It was a Trojan horse, and that many people are going to start dropping dead in the next 3 to 6 months. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny lays out what these vaccinations are going to do to the people in the next 3 to 6 months. And I mean, there's going to be massive death. And I think what they were planning on is that at that time we would be weak, and then China could come in and take us over. You know, they would try to restore the food and that, and the people would actually welcome them in. But I don't believe that that's going to happen. You know what I mean? I mean, we are maybe going to lose people, but I also hear that they're finding out different things every day to maybe overcome that. Originally, they said there was no antidote to turn this mRNA vaccine around because it alters your DNA. And now I'm hearing that there are certain compounds that are in the pine needles and things like that, ischemic acid. There's, you know, Health Ranger has a lot, 3 or 4 different ones, orange peels. And
yeah, we have to be really, really careful with some of that information, though. You know, one of the other things is a possibility, and again, this is an assumption, total assumption. I have no proof or anything, but, you know, if Trump is aware of this, and I can't see that he's not, maybe there has been an infiltration into these pharmaceutical companies at a certain level to prevent the certain poisons from going into these things, but something else. And on the other hand, to maintain the cover story somehow, that the upper people, you know, like Biden and all these people, that they don't know that it's been really cut off at the pass, so to speak. But I'm just thinking that might be a possibility, too.
Could be, but I'm telling you, there's people dropping dead every day. I listen to my
scanner. That's true. That's true.
Every
yeah, we're
day.
Getting it every
I mean,
day.
Yeah. Just dropping like flies all over. And they were announcing that it was a hemorrhage or a stroke. It's all the symptoms of the COVID. You know, 56-year-old male having a bad reaction to a shot. Now they don't say that anymore because they probably told them not to say that. You know what I mean? And then, you know, they gave it to everybody. And all of a sudden, there's all these people dropping dead. Now, I don't know what they're going to do about it. I don't know. I can't see them making a poison that they don't have an antidote for. I mean, that's really crazy. I mean, maybe the devil will do something like that. But because the issue...
The antidote may be something that's got to be done annually to maintain, that's a serious problem, because that would make sense if we, you know, they either control us or they'll give us the antidote.
You can't improve on God, and God gave us an immune system. Now, this thing kind of hacks in the immune system. However, nature is very stubborn, and it tends to go back to its original. So that these scientists are saying it'll never go back, but, you know, they don't understand. Their whole germ theory is flawed anyway. When they look at exosomes, they think it's the viruses, and it's not. It's the stuff that your cells threw out that was encased and thrown out of the cell, and they identify that as a virus. So that's a problem. And mm-hmm. and so, you know, there may be, well, first of all, you got to keep your immune system up. I don't care. If you took the shot, you better be taking your vitamins. You better be taking D3. You better be taking hydroxychloroquine and ischemic acid, whether it's from pine needle tea or whatever, because that'll all help suppress that virus when it comes into the body. You see, I don't buy the fact that I heard a doctor and he said, "Oh, we didn't know that spike protein was going to be so poisonous. We thought that shot was going to stay in the muscle of the arm and just do the, you know, give the people the immunity." That's a bunch of crap, because they knew that all the cats and all the ferrets, when they reintroduced the wild virus, they 100% died.
Yeah, I heard
of the
that.
Of the
yeah.
immune system response. You can't sit there and tell me that you didn't know that was going to happen. They stopped the animal testing because all the animals died. Technically, they should have never brought this thing out with that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So if they didn't do the testing, they didn't have the knowledge. It's the same coronavirus crap that they've been trying to make a vaccine for years and have not been able to because of this problem, the problem that is the plague on the land right now. Now, as far as
I... You know
what's
disturbing, though, is I heard that 67% of... And I just heard this on the news today on the radio, that 67% of the people of New York took the injection.
Yeah, well, what are those 67%?
That's ridiculously high. Okay, that must be New York City.
Well, no, it's all the Democrats.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And, well, yeah, and so, and
but
so
New
this
York
is
City
a...
is really deceived, highly deceived, I mean, in what's really going on. Even the Republicans, a lot of them are highly deceived.
Look, I warn people and tell them, don't take it. It's poison. It's going to do this. It's a Trojan horse. And then they go, take it anyway. And I say, why would you do that? I want to travel. I want to do that. I mean, it's stupid, stupid answers. You know,
I heard they got children now. They don't have to get their parents' consent.
First of all, that particular coronavirus that they're talking about in its wild form, it does not kill children. No cases of children dying from COVID. Yeah. That's a lie from hell.
Absolutely.
And so it's you know, they got control of the media, and that's what they've been doing to us. Now, if you think about it, this is kind of a punishment from God. Look at when the Egyptians were escaping the Pharaoh. The last plague was the firstborn of everything, including the animals, would die, and the only way to prevent that was to put the blood of the lamb over the door. This is, and you know what? A lot of the Egyptians did that, and they didn't lose their firstborn because they believed in Moses, and they even left with him. When they were left with all of Egypt's gold and that, and went across the desert to go to the Red Sea parting, there was many Egyptians that went with them. And of course, you know, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought here with that. Oh, that this was a plague that the people chose themselves, right? And who chose it? Well, those people that tend to believe everything government tells them, that they didn't question authority, and they didn't do their due diligence to look at what was in here. And I'm going to tell you, make no mistake about it. There are aborted fetal cells in there, and they don't need them. That's their blood sacrifice. They put it in there just because of the principle of the matter. Whenever they do anything, they have to have a certain... The demons, there's always a requirement of a blood sacrifice, and that's the only reason they have aborted fetal cells in there. They don't need those aborted fetal cells in there to make this, and it's not even a vaccine, but I'll get off of that because I don't want to spend the whole show doing this, but...
Well, you know, earlier I made a statement concerning quoting Trump, and I'm looking at right now Christian Patriots page here, and it was yesterday's program where he quoted Trump also, and he's got some video clips of this stuff. This is Trump talking, we're going to take back our country sooner than you think, okay? That's what he said just a couple of days ago, and that was reported yesterday on Christian Patriot news here. It's really good, really great information. The news clips are short, maybe about 20 minutes of news or stuff, but it's filled with a lot of good stuff, video and documented information. So he lays it out really, really clear. And, you know, just 2-3 days ago, he's got Trump won by millions, vows returned to the White House, 100%, Lindell's 9-0 proof, China's... And then talks about China's $10 trillion tab. You heard about what Trump said about that, China should pay the world $10 trillion because of all the suffering and death. And that's not even enough, but it's a number, you know?
Right, right. I mean, how do you pay anything back? You know, it's terrible. Anyway, it's.
But China is going to pay. You know what the sad thing is it really, you know, it's not China itself. Communist individuals that have seized control of that government and of those people, you know? And that's really the real shame of the whole thing.
Their whole digital control thing is frightening. This whole social scores through the cell phone and facial recognition, and, you know, they watch every move you make and everything you do, and they control you by your social score. By what you buy and what you say and what you send out. And so they don't have to have a troop there. They just cut you off from being able to spend any money. They cut you out of the system.
Oh, yeah. So
it's very effective, you know?
Yep. All right, well, let me pass things over to you. You got some people in the queue here. And we'll see where we go.
Okay, we'll go to Kenneth from Washington. Who's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Kenneth. You're
I just got a reply from Donald Trump's office. I contacted them about this virus situation and all the people that are going to be dying and what I think they're setting up right now. I think they're setting it up with Donald taking such responsibility for getting the virus through the vaccine through so fast. They're going to dub it the Trump vaccine, and then they're going to come out just before the 2024 election and admit that it's all pure poison and all these millions of people are dying because of the Trump vaccine as a way to defeat him, because they're not going to be able to get away with the fraud in this next election.
Well, you know what? The Christian Patriot...
I contacted his office, and they acknowledged receipt.
The Christian Patriot News, which I was just talking about a little while ago, talks about something similar to what you're talking about right now. On today's program, I think it was. It could have been yesterday's, but I think it was today's. Because it talks about the fact that when the truth starts to roll out, and it's starting to roll out now, and this very well may be the week to remember that Q has been speaking about. And but anyway, one of the things that Q had said is that when the time comes and this information, they're not going to allow all of the propaganda that these people will pull up. They're not going to allow them to control the narrative. They're going to seize control of the emergency through the emergency broadcasting system. So they're not going to be able to get their lies out there. People are going to hear the truth. But some of the people are not going to believe the truth. It's going to take a while for it to sink in. But the facts of the truth will prove the truth. I mean, when you lay out the facts, and then you get a lot of these people that will be confessing because they're going to get a deal in order to save their lives or whatever the case may be, the proof will be so overwhelming with video and documentation and all kinds of stuff. So I wouldn't worry about them trying to turn things around onto Trump. That's not going to be a Trump card.
I have a Trump card to that answer to that. When Trump first found out about this virus, he said, "Oh, they got hydroxychloroquine, and they got ivermectin and these other things," and they foo-fooed him and they said that doesn't work. Now let me tell you something. This vaccine, so-called, and it's not a vaccine, make no mistake about it, it's not a vaccine, it doesn't act like a vaccine, it doesn't fit any of the protocols of a vaccine, other than the fact that it makes a protein and an antibody to it, but it doesn't offer immunity. But when he said all that stuff, and they said, "Oh, he said drink bleach," He was talking about MMS, and they had showed him stuff in labs that they did, you know, that cleared this stuff in petri dishes and that, and he didn't explain it real well, but he put it out there. And the reason he put it out there is because Fauci and all the so-called experts, they all lied. Donald Trump is the president, and he depends on his advisors. Now, his advisors told him that stuff doesn't work for COVID. That's a lie from hell. And they also foo-fooed taking vitamin D and all this other stuff, which we know works. So he was basing that on his the advice he got from the so-called experts, Fauci and Birx and these other ones, right? Well, they're all demons and they're liars. And the fact of the matter is that there is treatment. There's like five treatments that work. So this vaccine was signed under an emergency protocol. It's not approved by the FDA. A lot of stupid people think it's approved, and they don't realize that it's experimental, and they are the experiment. And so the minute that they release the fact that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and budesonide and all these other things that they've discovered actually cure it, they should have stopped the vaccine because it no longer fit the protocol for an emergency non-tested vaccine. It was only let through because people are going to die, we need something. And Trump ran with it because that's what they told him. They told him there is no other treatment, and so he allowed these pharmaceuticals. So the pharmaceutical companies actually are the ones that caused this because they know better. They know that hydroxychloroquine works. They've been using ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They've been curing Ebola and all these other horrible diseases, and they got something like a 98 percentile cure rate with these other treatments that they all foo-fooed in the beginning. Trump said, oh, I saw all this wonderful stuff, and they said, oh, that doesn't work, he's crazy. They really tore him apart big time. And I knew what he was talking about.
It's another HIV scam.
That's exactly what it is, run by the same people, by the way.
I actually met one of the seven scientists that developed what came to be called HIV in their lab in Finland. There were three parameters: sexually transmittable, readily detectable, and caused no harm to the human body under any circumstances. Supposedly to be used to research sexual activity in the world.
Well
when they started misusing it, the scientists got mad and started going out to tell the doctors, quit being scammed, and they disappeared, all seven of these scientists.
Well, Dr. Judy Mikovits lays it out. She was in the heart of it, and Fauci really did her bad and had her put in jail, and she's really come out of it, and she has very good information on everything you're talking about, the whole AIDS scam. She's wrote a couple of books on it. And, you know, the word is out there. The truth is out there if you just look for it a little bit, you know? Even their own paperwork, their own peer-reviewed studies, this stuff is public knowledge. It's not even hidden. So if you wanted to know about that vaccine and what the issues were and what it was, you spend 2 hours on the Internet, you could find out everything that you need. You could find out enough to know that that's not something that you would let them stick in your arm. You know what I mean? It was that bad.
And as to the finances of the union as opposed to the federal, I have two clients right now that, due to the fraud and deprivation of rights by the Esquires, every judge, every attorney, they have put the crown jewels of England on the line, and two of them have counter-process going where Elizabeth Windsor is the first respondent, counter-respondent in their claims, because she is a fiduciary responsible for the crown jewels. Can you imagine an administrative judgment through common law hidden in the Administrative Procedures Act, affirmed by a court of record, because Administrative Procedures Act says they can't look outside the administrative record, and then take that and register it in the International Court of Justice in The Hague, and then Donald Trump sends in the troops to seize the crown jewels based on the judgment.
Well,
and we fund the union going back to the republics.
Well, I think that's all planned out, to be honest with you. I think it's all but done, to be honest. I mean, they understand this whole thing, you know. But just remember this, as far as America goes, and as far as anybody goes, because this is also a fundamental principle of common law. Fraud vitiates everything. If you use fraud to get somewhere, the whole process is null and void. And so that whole election was like it never even happened, because there was fraud, and that vitiates everything. We don't have to worry about anything else other than that, you know. And look at that's what they get. Everything they
Donald
do to us.
Trump the opportunity to finish out this term when he's reinstated, and he can run a second time.
Right, I've heard that, and that might happen, I don't know. But right now, I'm more worried about...
And besides, the two-term amendment is purely corporate anyway.
Right. Because when was that put in? You're right. It was put in after they violated the...
they corporatized everything.
Yeah, it was after the Judiciary Act 1871, which set up the corporation, I think. And in 1934, we got the Jekyll Island thing that took away the rest. You know, did the whole rest of the corporate thing. So you're right. It wasn't even done under the true United States. It was done under the fraud fiction. Right.
As a matter of fact, the corporatization started during the first 10 years of Congress. I've read the handwritten journals in the National Archives. However, they were not corrupting anything at that time, but they were taken over later by the Esquires and used to create what we now call the federal government in lieu of the union government.
Right, right.
I've been through the National Archives, and I've actually read the handwritten journals of the House and Senate.
Yeah, and that's
where, copies.
That's where you really learn what's going on. I've read some of the handwritten journals of Washington and Jefferson, and a lot of what they tell everybody in history is a lie. Because they wouldn't be writing that stuff if some of the things they said was the truth. You know, when you read their actual letters.
God turned me on to something in the National Archives I wasn't even looking for. In early 1800s, Congress had a problem out in the wild, 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 wild west, everything west of the Mississippi River. The landowners were hiring assassins by the dozens to kill off trespassers, squatters, Indians, and when they wanted their neighbor's land, send an assassin after him and then just take the land after he's dead. And Congress said, we got to do something about this. And it's all written in the handwritten journals of the House and Senate in the National Archives. And they says, we got to do something about this. And they talked a whole lot about the Second Amendment. Says, well, we just can't ban guns or anything. Well, some of them went home and talked to grandpa and great-grandpa that were actually involved in the founding of the country. He said, did Second Amendment ever intend for guns to be used for murder for hire? He said, no way. So they came back, they created the term firearm and defined it as a gun used or intended to be used for murder for hire, to wit, assassination. And that's never been repealed as far as I can tell. So this garbage about ATF redefining firearm is total garbage because Congress created it and defined it. And yeah. I was all prepared to have my pictures of that when I got kidnapped by deep state feds. I was all prepared to use that as an exhibit in a firearms case for somebody and watch the case go away.
Right. Interesting stuff.
Bill of particulars. Excuse me, but where's the evidence that that gun was intended to be used or used for assassination?
Right. Well, that's good, interesting stuff, but I'm going to move on, and that's good stuff, so, you know, we can study that.
It's amazing what God showed me when he put me in the National Archives doing research. And the Library of Congress and the Supreme Court Law Library.
As it is, we need to rewrite the history books because they rewrote them to lie to people, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Kenneth. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll let you all get back to everything else.
Okay. We got people in the queue waiting patiently. Thank you. Ross from Oregon. Go ahead.
I'm wondering, it says I have talked to my parents and they said I'm not capable of organizing the community and I need someone to organize it for me.
Where are you, in Oregon?
Yes, Oregon.
Did you look on the NLA roster, you know, on the members list to see who's in your county and who could give you help? Who's next to you? I mean, Oregon's tough because it's so sparsely populated, but you know, you got to find somebody and work as a group. And even if you had another NLA member in another state, if they were close enough to drive over, they could help you. They don't have to, you know, it's all about logistics. If they're closer, it doesn't matter what their boundaries are. They could help you set up your committee of safety. Somebody that, you know, is local. I don't know.
I was just saying is because I don't have the skill set to do the organization of the community of safety.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody in Oregon can help you with that, and I'll ask somebody to look up, Jan, or somebody to see who, what part of Oregon are you in? Where are you
Cactus
in Oregon?
Cactus County, under Monoma County.
Under Monoma County?
Yes, Clackamas County.
I can't quite get that. What is it, Clackamas County?
Clackamas. It's Clackamas.
Okay. So I'm gonna we have your number here. Maybe we can get back to you with who's next to you that can give you a hand to get started. We'll have to look at. I don't have that information at my fingertips right now. But and your name is Ross?
Yes, Ross.
Ross. Okay. Well, we'll record your number. Okay. If somebody can take down Ross's number, and we could get back to him with maybe whoever his county organizer, or even look at you start as close to home as you can, but you could reach out to the state guy too. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't even seen a state guy yet for Oregon.
Okay.
I know they have a district guy for the Washington and Oregon area.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to have somebody close enough that where you can get together and meet face to face. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you can do a lot of things. I mean, you could use Zoom. You can do Zoom meetings to if somebody's going to just, you know, help you, give you instructions and stuff. You could do that if you had to. I don't know how many people you have. You might have somebody that's actually close enough, you know, where they'll drive. You know, most people don't want to drive more than an hour. You want to try to find somebody within an hour if you can.
So, because Clackamas County is a very rural county.
Yeah, that's the problem we have with the rural counties. We have the same kind of problem up in Alaska because it's so vast and it's more sparsely populated, so it's harder to get organized. But you got to, you got to work around it, and sometimes you just have to travel, you know, if you can, you know, or, you know, maybe we can find somebody that can come over into your county. I mean, if we ever get to the point where we get financially able and we get some money, which, you know, there's supposed to be money coming to in the reset, we would be able to fly around the country. Even John and I could go help set up counties, but right now we just don't have the resources to do that. You know, we're hoping that we get some kind of funding like that soon, you know, and that might be coming. I don't know. There, you know, supposedly there is money available you can put in for it, but I haven't really nailed that down yet to see how true that is. But we do have some stuff in the works, so we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we'll find out. Maybe Jan can look up and who's in your county, and we could get a hold of you and give you the number of the guy that's close enough to you. You know, maybe we'll call somebody up and get that, set a call up so that you can talk to them. Okay.
Yeah, Gerard.
Yes, Jan.
Yeah. Yeah, I found him. I've got his email address and everything. I'll send him an email, okay, with the people around him.
Thanks, Jan. You're a prince. Thank you. Okay, Ross, you're going to get an email.
Okay.
Look for it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Tom.
Next is Heather Lee from Michigan.
Yes, it's Heather Lee.
How you doing? Long time
well,
no see.
I've been working.
We're all busy, I know.
We're all busy, and we're working overtime.
No doubt.
Robert and I haven't been twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of things happening. We just had, on Saturday, we had Mike Lindell come to the Antrim County gathering in Cherry Field.
No kidding.
It's just Christy Market, the Antrim County conservative, put it on. Stand Up Michigan.
That's wonderful news.
Yeah, and Ann Vanderfield was there. The brother, General Flynn's brother, was there.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it was a marvelous time. I'll tell you what, we had a fantastic gathering. It was just absolutely wonderful. There were, I'd say there were, I don't know, 1,500. I came out of the woodwork for that.
Wow, that's great.
And it was just, this whole field was littered with people, and everybody brought a chair, sat in the hot sun, and had a blast. You know,
well,
these
are the things that we need to do now. This is the type of stuff that needs to happen all over the country.
And this is the most important thing. There were booths there, and they were so organized. I'm so proud of them. They had, of course, our senator, Kolbeck was there. He has always been a champion in Michigan to defend the Constitution, sometimes standing alone.
Right.
And I worked with him over the smart meters and such. And anyway, he and his wife were there, and I had a great conversation, talked to her about NLA. It was wonderful. There were four witnesses that were overseers for the election night in Michigan, and they're whistleblowers, and two of them are running for office, one for the Secretary of State, the other one for the Antrim County Representative. And I got to talk to the Antrim County Representative, and we're going to stay in touch because she wants to know more about the Constitution. So I directed her to the NLA website, and so I was really excited about that. But this is the key. They had affidavits, six-page affidavits prepared with four notaries on hand where people lined up, and they put their name in there. They were notarized in front of a notary with their signature, and they're all going to the Supreme Court to demand a forensic audit.
Wow.
The judge refuted the second time, Kevin Elsenheimer. Mm-hmm. They got to him, they paid him off, and he denied a forensic audit. And by golly, the people of Michigan are rising up, and they're going to have it. Regardless. And besides that, the lovely thing is, I'm in three court cases right now, personally. And I don't know how I get there, but I do. I'm just a troublemaker. Anyway, one of them is overseen by Elsenheimer, and I indicted him.
Oh, no kidding.
Anyway, I have a question. It was a good weekend. Anyway, the question is, on the IRS, they're de facto defuncto, all the above, privately owned. They always have been. And I know that the Fed is now down. The word is out. The Fed is down. Okay. So I am assuming the IRS is just as equal to the Fed and the Illuminati. It's privately owned. And I did get a notice in the mail from the IRS, and I know that we have sued them with the writ. I'm looking at the writ right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I gotta go.
They have no authority because they're part of that scam fiction. And I don't think that they're going to be around much longer. I mean, I can't believe they're still out there trying to beat people up. They must be so desperate. They're hoping you just mail them a check.
Listen to this one. Listen to this one. I just want everyone to hear this because this is. I'm framing this. I got a notice from the IRS, and I thought, I've refuted it before, and I thought, oh, you dare send me a bill, do you? And I opened it up carefully, and I thought, all right, I got both guns, you know, ready to go here. And I opened this thing up, and it says, amount you owe, $791.35. But then the next line says, this is the billing summary, the next line says, decree. Now, this is just an unheard of word in their Illuminati vocabulary. Has decreased in interest on the amount you owed. Oh, really? I didn't owe you anything. But there's a decree. There's a minus $96.35. Have you ever? And then the next line says, decrease in shared responsibility payment. What the heck?
What's a shared responsibility payment? What kind of talk is that? Is that newspeak?
I just came up with this terminology. And that's a minus $695 to the amount due is 000.
So they sent you a bill for $000?
Yeah. They said that I owe $791.35. But then they decreased in the interest of $96.35. And they decreased in the shared responsibility payment of $695 equaling zero.
You know, I don't, that's a, you know, it scares me that that's not some kind of trick. And look at the fact that, look at, if they would have said a dollar, that you owed a dollar, I would say, don't you dare pay that. Because that would what that's designed to do is to get you to acknowledge the debt, and then they'll come back with both barrels after you. But when send you a bill for $000, they're basically, what they're saying is you have no liability, and I don't know what you respond. I would write back and say, I would say, well, it was all a bunch of baloney anyway. I never acknowledged you.
Yeah. Well, this is the point. This is what I did receive a notice from one of our people, and a little bit back, it's a letter that the IRS acknowledged that they are illegitimate, and if anybody challenges them with their back taxes or anything like that, that it's to their employees that they are to not refute it and just pay them. Well, I thought, you know what? You've always been illegitimate. I've rammed right up against you, IRS. Over the years, I've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that I would gather up, and I'm a record keeper, so I have all my records. I don't throw papers away. I have lots of records. And so I started going through and getting all my tax receipts. And I thought I'd collect them all, and I would run a copy of them, and I would bill the IRS. Just for fun. And I would send a letter with that, too, because that's their authorized letter. And I would send a letter with it, and I would tell them that they have a shared responsibility payment to me to refund my money.
You catch on fast, right?
Yeah, and I thought maybe, you know, I could sue them for all that money, too. I could do that. NLA did that. I see that John, in this case here, on NLA's site, there's a writ on here. I think it's a writ. What did he do? I'm trying to figure out what he did for the case and how he did this. Are you familiar with that?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, when we were doing that, we were working out the fee schedule, what we were going to charge them, I think. And I don't, it's been such a long time, I don't remember what.
I think didn't we all stand up for this or something, we voted on it?
Yeah, we did, but there was a process we went through for the restitution, and I don't remember what John used as a, you know, as a table for that, because we didn't want to just put in an amount, you know what I mean, without justifying it.
Well, I could tabulate, you know, I could tabulate all my receipts for all the years.
Yeah, but then there's interest, and then there's, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot that goes into that.
Interest, and then pain and suffering, and
right.
The inability to make money on the money they stole.
And punitive damages.
Punitive damages, yada, yada. Yeah, so, you know, you could add all that up, but I thought it would really be nice to formulate. I mean, I don't know if I could take the basic structure of this writ. I'm thinking that this writ is the same one. That, the, you know, in putting this together, and I guess I'm going to have to ask Dad about it, but I thought maybe I could just see what I could do. You know, I do the documents all the time anyway, so I, you know, I might as well get right in there and, you know, just really use it for the jugular vein.
Right, right.
So I'm pretty bodacious these days. I'm, you know, I'm right after, I mean, they gave me a ticket for driving on not-for-hire constitutional license plate. Well, I went around for 6 months, and I nailed them, and then I got advice from two of my colleagues in NLA. I said, why don't you just say that so that it, we don't have to suffer you with a little bracelet around your ankle. You know, it's $125. But so I decided to pay it, but then I served them 8 pages of Constitution under duress, and not in agreement. And Robert Overfuel and I just put this little nasty thing together. So anyway, we really went after him. I mean, I tore into him with the first letter I had, and just told them that they were pirates on a pirate ship.
Mm.
And, you know, I just let him have it. I said, I've had enough of you. And you took an oath to the Constitution, and this is where you stand. You're in jurisdiction time known under the color of law, and how dare you give me a ticket against the Constitution in my unalienable rights. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's where I'm at. So, I guess I don't know, John's really, really busy, but I'd really like to know what he did here with this tax thing, and too bad he left. So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Jim
here?
Might know. I have to maybe
is
get a
Brent?
Hold.
Okay.
I don't see Brent. I don't know that he's here.
Oh, he probably went to that Red Cell thing and everything.
Right.
Okay, well, anyway.
Can find out. I know time is of the essence, but, you know, let's see what we can. We might have an answer for you.
If I had the form, okay. It's
right.
Enough that I'm digging out everything, but if I had the form to really nail them with it, you know, why reinvent the wheel? You know, even if I took a portion of it or, you know, whatever, John.
Right.
I'd like to, if you could just refer this question to John, you know, I mean, I could try, but.
Mm-hmm. I'll do my best to explain it to him, okay?
That's good. I just think it would be really good and timely. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Blessings.
Yeah. Okay, Sean. No, it jumped over Sean, and it's Dan.
Yep, and can you hear me okay?
I can.
Very good. I'll try to be brief because of great call up to right now and then to earlier. I thought the information that Mr. John Drash gave to us, the living word and all the way through there, it's such a guidance in. We're very fortunate that we have leaders like you guys that pay total dedication and bring these every Monday night. You can experience of hearing some truth that no man can challenge and that it's a living word on top of everything else. Just wanted to comment a minute ago. I heard a gentleman say, something. He's a very knowledgeable man, and he says, you know, God gave him, you know, and we kind of understand, you know, where he's responding there, and sure, our Heavenly Father is the better choice if we don't want to call him by his real, you know, he has various names, by the way, and in the Bible.
Yeah,
but well, Heavenly Father
depends,
is
it depends there. On how you're addressing him and what you're asking for.
Absolutely.
He has different qualities in different places. And there are various names. You're right. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just will hope that that gentleman is such a powerhouse of knowledge, and we love to hear him give input every time. He's to be highly appreciated.
He's been through a lot, I can tell you that, but go ahead.
Yes, he has. Go ahead. With that said, I would like for my good colleague there that he is to us and all of us, and such a humanitarian and caretaker for what's need to be done and set forth to give us insight. I hope that maybe he will think spiritually a little bit. When we refer to someone as God, God can be Satan. I mean, it's a title, and it's not, you know, and I know he don't mean anything wrong by it, but it
would
be nice
look at,
if he'd
you,
say,
if you say, if you say Almighty God, there's only one Almighty God.
Yes, sir.
Right? So,
our grand creator. If he said our grand creator, you know, we need to be very, our Heavenly Father is very jealous of wanting us to be with good quality worship and reflection of him. And by doing so, we are a witness by faith, which is the way we're supposed to be. Anyway, I just wanted this gentleman to kind of hear this, that, you know, God could be Satan. It could be, you know, various people.
Well,
you know,
he's kind of talking in the context where we were. I mean, we just read.
I know he was.
There's only one God that I would assume he was talking about. I understand.
Yeah, right.
I we know who he's talking about. If somebody was a little bit ignorant about that and they asked, then we'd have to tell them. But I understand what you're saying.
We knew that he was totally meaning extremely and well, and he was responding to you, and you did a nice job in narrating that, of course. Let's move on for just a second, and so I can give somebody else a good chance here. I've been so busy with this federal court and stuff, and I'm not going all into that. I mean, that's been going on for a long time. And matter of fact, supposed to be in the next court on the 10th, June the 10th, but I believe that it's going to get a continuance. Nevertheless, that's another story. But what I would like to say is that since I was so busy and couldn't get on to the meetings, I might be saying something out of line or something here. Hope I'm not. Is have we got a good response to when we're going to get, the unbelievable book and everything that John and all the rest of you guys are party to? Is it about ready for us to be able to order, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, they just told him it's going to print. I don't remember what he said, but it's imminent. I mean, it was supposed to be fast tracked, it wasn't fast. But you know, he sent back the final approval, and I think they said it was going to take 3 weeks to print it up. I don't quote me, because I don't. But it's all done. You know, it's right now the ball's in their court, and we're waiting to hear, you know, that it's come off the press and the first copies will, you know, come into John where he can disseminate them to the people that bought them.
Absolutely. Well, that is what I wanted to hear. Probably I knew that it was probably tabled like last Monday night and, you know, so forth. And I want to behoove everyone. This is the one of the best things that you can have in your home for your kids right on up, and your wife, your family, grandparents, whatever. We
I'll tell you what, I'd take it to court with me.
Absolutely.
As a reference, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So I'm trying to, you know, encourage everybody. Folks, you just can't imagine. I've for several years now, have been kind of a student of John Durash and Mr. Gerard there and Brent Allen Winters and various other people that you would, you know, come in and comment tremendously, give us insight. So,
by the way, let me stop you a second. Sure. Look, anybody wants to get in the queue, now's the time. We got some time left in there, and we're down to like nobody. So unless I'm going to close early, get in there if you got a question.
Right.
And I'll take you right away. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Well, in closing, for those parties there, you think that our wonderful mentor, the very knowledgeable and always, I mean, for several years now, you could not come on a call and listen to better guys, folks, across this land than your and Mr. Gerard there does a super MC. He's very well knowledged and well read. Self-made man these parties are, and their knowledge that they disseminate is ultimate. I behoove anybody to come challenged in any court. I don't care if it's over in England. You know, I'm serious. We are so fortunate to have a unbelievable man that is over 20 years, Mr. John Durash, and then his partner, Mr. Gerard there. And oh, we better not forget Mr. Jan. I know his last name, but out of courtesy, I won't. And I know yours too, Mr. Gerard, but I won't call it.
Okay.
And I know John's official appellation, Christian appellation too, that's privacy.
Yeah.
So with all that said, folks, please get those money orders in there. Go in there and get where you see where you can download, and then it tells you, and then fill it out. And I believe it's about $50 is what I was told.
Right.
And any difference, you tell them, Dan, send the bill to Dan Stanley, he'll pay it.
Be careful.
I know. If that's about $100,000,
you can
trouble.
Yeah, okay.
If that's $100,000, I'd pray for it to be $100,000, tell you the darn truth. Okay, well, that said, and we've got maybe a few others in the queue, and I want to send another nice part of the you know, the job that every night practically you cannot do yourself any prouder than to be hearing Mr. Brent Allen Winters, and what a distinguished a lot of other guests too, like even tonight that Mr. Gerard was, you know, just having on. We're very fortunate. The NationalLibertyAlliance.org is, if I have anything to do with the rest of my life, it's here to stay.
Well, we appreciate that. And,
well, you deserve,
you know, we're always trying to improve and trying to sharpen ourselves. There's always room for improvement. And I always tell everybody, I know just enough to make me dangerous.
And by the way, there's other parties, and please forgive me, the other parties behind the scenes, but there's, to have an organization like National Liberty Alliance, folks, there's others, but the key parties, I'm telling you, day in and day out, every week, they're givers. They give to us and bring to us truth as best of any organization in the world, to tell you the truth.
Okay, we appreciate that. Thank you. Got a couple and other people we'll move off to
sure.
now.
I'll be here.
My
Thank
clock
you very much.
Down. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's see. I got Michael, it looks like, from Michigan. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, hello. I regretfully have to say I haven't been on the call in some time, which I should be, but I'm continually out there broadcasting. If you're disgruntled and confused today, there's a website that you should go to. but I also tell them it's the beginning of the rabbit hole search. So, but anyway,
right.
My question is regarding to this is something I heard earlier in the call, and it was related to the fictitious FDA and my question would be well what part of the current corporational government is lawful?
What part is lawful? I'll tell you what, I don't think any of it is.
Well, that's my
you know
point.
What I'm saying? That's right. And the thing is when it gets restored, Trump won't be 47 or 48. He's going to be, I forget what they said, 17 or something. It was since we had, you know,
he'll be the 19th.
Or the 19th. See, I didn't know for sure, but I know that was around that. That it's been that long we've been suffering under this plague, and it is a plague, and it's been a slow-moving cancer that and now it's moving fast, but at least we're starting to get results. I mean, I'm so tired of – I've been awake for all my life. You know, I just happen to be fortunate, you know, to be raised by parents that understood the conspiracy. You know,
wow.
So it's kind of, but it's kind of torture. And on one hand, it's good, but on the other hand, you know, like I said, I knew what the Trilateral Commission was, and the CFR when I was 12 years old. And so I've been hearing about these things, you know, and some of the books that my parents, you know, that we cut our teeth on, The Ugly American, and this and that, all these things that the average person. I mean, we got people that just woke up, you know, a couple months ago, and that's great. And that's kind of like, you know, what we want to do. We want to wake people up, and we want to get them to actually do things, you know. And it's been a long, long haul. I'm ready. I didn't think that I was going to live long enough to see the fruition of that, you know, that or even the beginning of it, you know. But I feel pretty confident that we're going to be in a wherever we end up after this year, I think we're going to be better off than we've been in a long, long time.
And, well, you've kind of taken a weight off my burden by saying that that you were actually raised in a family with knowledge of these things, and so I don't feel quite as guilty as not being further along than I am right now.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I've had the rug pulled out from under my feet plenty of times. You know, I mean, you got to have an open mind, and you know, not to say that some of the programming doesn't go through, and then you have to readjust yourself. Because why do you think they call television programming? Because that's exactly what it does. And even if it's just on in the room, it's going in your head whether you know it or not. Subliminally,
sure.
they're putting ideas in there, and that affects us, and it affects the things that we do, and it takes a lot of something to come out of that and to become discernment, to have that discernment.
Discernment is just such a powerful word.
Look at we're bombarded constantly, daily. I don't even watch television. I can't even stand to. You know, I'll put on a specific movie, but I don't watch. I certainly don't watch the news. That's like depressing, and I wouldn't do it anyway.
Well, I certainly hope you don't condemn me too much, but I do watch a couple news agencies. They wouldn't be the liberal news agencies, but I do that just to glean the poison.
Oh yeah, you gotta know your enemy, no doubt about it. And I'll confess that I do listen to Fox sometimes, you know, and look at Rupert Murdoch owns them, and he's no prince. He's part of the cabal, so you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, and what their thing is they got to try to balance things and let everybody feel like they have a place to be, so that they can avoid the revolution, so to speak. You know what I mean? There's a reason for all this mind control. You know.
Oh, certainly. I mean, it was kind of mind-boggling recently, pertaining to facts, that they actually let some liberal lefties go from them. Well, when they brought some lefties on to Fox, that was discerning. But mm-hmm. they actually let Hispanic guy that was on the Five show or something like that. He's no longer there. I can't hardly believe that Rupert had anything to do with letting him go because he talked his language. So
yeah, see, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes either. You know what I'm saying? We're at war right now, and even these corporations probably have some war within them. Hopefully.
Well, I think that's starting to. We're starting to see that happen. That when the light shines more on this corporate fraud, that it makes them nervous, and it will start. Well, we know if you're an evil, confusion and utter chaos will hit you sooner or later. So, all right, hey, listen, it's a pleasure talking to you. I don't know if you have another speaker to come on,
Yeah, we have somebody else. We got a few minutes, and so I'm gonna take him.
Okay.
It's good talking to you, and keep the faith.
I'll bow out, I'm referring to people to what I consider probably the most prominent informational website that there's out there.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, okay. You have a good evening. Bless
you. You too. Yeah, God bless. Okay, I got Greg from Michigan. Go ahead, Greg. Can you hear me? Hello, Greg. Or was that got pushed down from somebody else? I don't know. Going once. Okay, I'm going to open Jim from PA up since I don't hear anything from Greg. Go ahead, Jim from PA.
Yeah, Gerard. I don't know the source, but I was told that if a COVID injection vial inside mm-hmm. is dropped and broken, that the hazmat is called to clean it up.
I heard that too.
I did hear that.
And I don't know the source either. It was, you know, I look at a lot of stuff on the internet, and I did come across that news that supposedly if you break that vial, they're going to call that hazmat. Meanwhile, the next thing you're letting them put it in granny's arm or the baby's arm. It's so ridiculous. You know, it's crazy. And I mean, even the regular, and I use that term lightly, the regular vaccinations, you know, the amount of mercury and stuff in them and thermosol and stuff, that alone, I mean, it's 40,000 times more than what's considered safe by the EPA. And then they want to give the kids these multiple vaccinations. And it's no wonder that autism is up so high, because that's what mercury does to the brain. You know, I mean, it's terrible how we can be so ignorant and go ahead and do that, you know. And I mean, I'm not necessarily against vaccinations per se if they do it right. I think I gave an example, I don't know if it was last week, but, you know, years ago when smallpox was a problem, and it's a very virulent and horrible disease, especially the black pox. The only thing to stop it was quarantine, and it has a 14-day incubation period, so it would run out
within 14 days walk from city to city. That's the only thing that would stop it, basically. But they all, what happened is they discovered that the girls, they call them the milkmaids, that were milking the cows didn't get it. And come to find out that they were catching cowpox from the udders of the cows, and it was offering them immunity from smallpox. So the first pox vaccination came from the cow udders, because they, you know, through observation, scientific observation, they realized that by getting this probably somewhat removed from human pox, the cow pox was close enough to offer an immunity to the smallpox. So that was a good application in that case. But, you know, that's the way you got to use it. You can't, all this other stuff is voodoo as far as I'm concerned, putting all this crazy preservatives and fetal cells and AIDS and manipulating, you know, the DNA and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know.
Well, the people are falling for it, but anyways. Hey, listen, I have one other question. The Citizens Rule Book by Witten Printers. One of the members of our Committee of Safety was saying that it's out of print. You can't get it anymore. Are you familiar with that? Is that up at the NLA website?
We had them. We were handing them out. John would know better than me. You're right. I like that little book. I think we took and John rewrote some of that for our first Constitution book, our juries book for juries and judges and juries and things like that. And some of that we got out of that book. But I don't know if you can get them anymore. I haven't seen them lately. I don't know if there's a printer around. We'll look into that, though.
But it was,
I think I have some still left over that I'm storing, that I hung on to, because that had some good information in certain places that was easy to get to. Between that book and your little Constitution book, you know, when you're walking around or in court or anything like that, it was pretty good. It was a good reference, you know.
Yeah, I just can't remember if I asked you about that or not, or if it's on the website. But
I wish I could tell you more. I mean, we did have them. I haven't seen them in a while. And John has redone a couple of the books that we used to use, because when we went through it, we found some errors, and so we fixed those. I mean, originally, that's not our book. Somebody else produced that. We did not produce that. But John redid it and put out a book, you know. Judges, it's sheriffs, juries, and something else. And that's one that we did that you can find probably on our website, I think. I don't remember. If anybody knows, maybe they can pipe up. But I don't know. I know that. Whatever we have, we can't order just one or two. When we order them, in order to keep the price where it needs to be, you know, we got to order many hundreds or thousands to get that price. So periodically we were doing that, and I don't know if we have any intentions of doing that more, because he's been kind of focusing on this other book, this Government by Consent. But
I mean, Common Law Handbook, Gerard.
Yeah, what was it? What was the actual title to that?
Well, it's the Common Law Handbook for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices.
That's it. The Common Law Handbook. Now that's something that John produced.
Right.
And can we still get them?
We do not have much of any of them left. They are available in PDF form. You can download them and print them yourself. They're on the website.
Did you heard that, Jim?
Yeah.
See,
the
problem we got into was, I think in the quantity they bought them last time, it was like a $50,000 order, and we don't have the cash to go ahead and do that again right now.
Right. And I forget
what that keeps the price down to per book. It's probably like a dollar or something. I don't know.
I think it was 50.
Yeah, but so I guess I'm concerned. NOA edited this Citizens Rule book. I'd like to know what they edited in our book so we can correct it or change it.
Yeah, I don't remember specifically. It's on the tip of my tongue. If I had the original one in front of me, I might be able to tell you. It wasn't real serious stuff, you know what I mean?
I see.
But it nevertheless, you know. And then I think John put more information on some of the subjects that were that was just missing, you know.
Well, when I get the time, I'll have to compare the two.
Yeah, and like Jan said, it's on the website, so you could open it up and go look.
Yes,
and
yes.
And if you print them, they're done in such a way that you can almost fold them and make them into a book, and, you know, using a scissors and a stapler, they fold up nice. You know, they fit together nice.
Okay, like I said, one of our members is just really enthused of that. I have copies of it, and I've been giving them to them, and I get more. So, but I'm glad you updated me on that edition,
right,
or that editing of the,
right,
book.
Right.
Okay, that's all I have. Just wanted to call and say hello.
Okay, thanks. Good to hear from you. Let's see. I think we have Greg from Michigan back in the queue. Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah. You hear me?
I can, yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. Earlier, I had my mute button on, and I didn't know it. I hit it by accident. I realized it. you were on to the next caller, so
right.
That was my point. Sorry about that. You guys might have talked about this earlier tonight. I got in to the meeting late, but so if that's the case, forgive me. But I have recently watched Mike Lindell's latest video. I think he calls it 9-0, something like that. And you've probably seen it recently, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And that 9-0, he's referring to the Supreme Court ruling that he claims he's going to get when he brings it up to the court, because it's so irrefutable, his evidence. And I believe that to be true.
Have you seen what it is that he showed, the evidence example he showed in that video?
Yeah, I think the 9-0 is, the main part that I saw is these packets that they captured in real time.
Right, each individual hack during the day of the election, and the 4th, mm-hmm. and during counting, and even some in the 5th. I mean, he had IP addresses of each computer that a hack came from, and also the latitudinal and longitudinal coordinates of where that computer was located.
They're so screwed.
and you know, the time that the hack came through, and you know, and he also had the results after each hack. I believe he had details about what votes were changed by each hack, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And those things, you get them in real time. They come through just the way you see them, and they're not editable. So they are what they are. I mean, they're 100% straight. You can't fake it, is what I want to say.
Right, and you can't go back and get them after the fact from what he was saying.
Right.
So fortunately, somebody had the foresight to record, all incoming communications that were coming in.
They knew what was going to look at. Trump knew what was going to go down from the first time.
Yeah,
they did what they did. Yeah, they were prepared. Look at this. Like John said, this is the greatest sting operation ever. You ever watched The Sting? This is better than The Sting.
the movie The Sting, where they get the guy
and he doesn't know he's been hit. They said you can't let the mark know. You know, it was pretty good. But
I recall. Well, here's my question. This is what I'm concerned about, and I've talked with two or three friends about this in the last day or two. They agree. They also are wondering, hey, What if the Supreme Court again, what if Justice Roberts and whoever else, what if they just decide they don't want to hear the case again? Can they refuse to hear this like they did the first time around?
They can do whatever they want to do, except they're in trouble. You see, the art of the deal there, and I'm not saying it's necessarily Trump because it's the White Hats. It's a whole team effort. You know, you got the military, and you got, I'm sure you have good officials in the courts that they've you know, that come forward. But it doesn't matter. They right now, the Supreme Court has committed treason, and they got them. And so I think they went to them and said, okay, you know, and Trump, before he went out of office, they reinstated, you know, the firing squad and a couple other things from military tribunals, right? And, of course, right away, what did the Democrats want to do? They want to get him for insurrection, to riot at the Capitol and all this baloney, right? But I think they went to them and said, look, the penalty for treason is death. So now go out and do the right thing, and maybe we'll have clemency on you. So do you think they're really going to do the wrong thing?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, they did.
Well, and they might, but the thing is, so then all they got to do is exercise the tribunal and appoint new justices and have at it again. We got lots of bullets. We could keep doing it. You know, I mean, it's like, what can you say? You know, I mean, are they going to say that we coerced the judges until we killed how many people before we got a decision that we liked? Look at this Supreme Court, just like the Congress and Senate, and just like our vice president, Donald Trump gave them the rope and they put it around their neck. They didn't have to do that. They did that willingly themselves. So now the problem is when you appoint a new judge, we can't do pre-crime. We have to let them do the crime. We have to and a lot of these guys have done treason before this. But you see what they did with the Congress and the Senate, and look at they've been taking China money, these guys, they've been doing a lot of bad things. And they have all that information. Yeah, he's got kids that were, you know, questionable and all this other crap that's going on in his life. You know, he's the guy that should hope that he can get out of there in one piece. Because I don't know that they can forgive some of the stuff that was done there. If they got evidence where he participated in the torture and the killing of a child, you cannot give clemency on something like that.
No, of course not. No.
You can't say, well, we'll forget about it. You know what I mean?
I saw a photo of him sitting with, I don't know how to say her first name. Is it Ghislaine Maxwell?
Epstein's Ghislaine. Ghislaine, yeah.
Close enough. I saw a photo on Facebook of the two of them sitting together in some lounge chair somewhere. Probably, you know.
She was Epstein's operative that got these guys, and then they used. Then once they got them compromised, it was blackmail. They got them to do. You know what I'm saying? They could control them.
Right.
That's the whole idea. But
that was,
you know, I don't know what's going to happen with him or what's going to happen with any of the other ones. But I do know that. I'm sure they understand that they're in trouble, and maybe that's why we got, you know, we had a couple of 9-0 decisions that were good. One for guns, and I don't know if the other one was on.
Right, I noticed they really seem to want to make the American people, or the majority anyway, happy with that decision. You know,
I don't think they have a choice anymore. I don't think they realize that Trump was really, you know who I like to compare Trump to? I don't know if you ever watched, what the heck was his name? Peter Falk, where he was the detective.
Columbo.
Columbo. That Trump pulled the Columbo. Columbo used to act like he was a dumbbell, and then he'd get over there and put his hand and go, oh, by the way, and he'd like stick the knife in. You know what I mean? And to me, that's what Trump is. He's like the perfect Columbo. And they all thought he was stupid, and he was this, and he was that. And boy, who's going to get the last laugh now? You know?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but I can see where you'd make that comparison. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I for the first time in almost my whole life, I got to hold myself back because I don't want to get giddy and I don't want to get happy until I actually see, you know, I want to be the Doubting Thomas and stick my hands in and actually feel it, you know what I mean? Because I do believe it's going to happen. Well, and I like John says, I think it's going to be such a big thing that happens so fast that people are going to realize that this was not from any one man, that it was mercy from God, because you could not take this cabal. Now it's worldwide. They got underground bases. They got all kinds of crap going on for many years, and to even think about going in and taking them down, I mean, it's such an impossible project.
Endeavor. It's a huge endeavor. It's
crazy. I mean, I wouldn't even, I'd be afraid to attempt it and think that I was going to survive it even.
Well, sure. And I would imagine there's been a lot of good people and a lot of good soldiers, I would think, have died over this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, let me mention one other thing, and then I'll let you go because I know it's time. But mm-hmm. have you know the filmmaker? She used to work with Alex. What's that?
She worked with Alex Jones or Alex Newman?
Jones. Yes. Millie Weaver.
Yeah, Millie Weaver. I was talking about her today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, she, I'm sorry.
With somebody else, not on this show.
Oh, okay. Did
and
you
I couldn't remember her name for some reason.
Did you see that roughly 3-hour documentary she did months ago? Probably it might have been late last year
earlier this year.
On the attack on January 6th on the White House, the documentary she did on how that was all put together.
You know what? I didn't see that. We have the original Millie Weaver movie that they arrested her for.
Okay, no, she did one, and it was out for maybe. I saw that. I know of it. She did one, probably that was released in like late February or early March, and I doubt that it was.
Do you know what the title of it is?
No, I can't think of it. But it was. Do you know that there was every bit as much effort and coordination of people in this country and other countries as well, numerous other countries, including intelligence officers from both here and intelligence officers from European nations and other countries as well, that all coordinated together to plan that attack on the White House, with the Antifa and with the Black Lives Matter and whoever was really, behind the destruction that happened, that was planned for weeks and months. And she captured so much of it, and it's about 3 hours long. But that was on the internet for maybe a couple weeks, 2 to 3 at the most, and it's disappeared. But it should be out there somewhere. I don't know if you'd find it on BitChute or maybe Mike Adams's websites or what. You might be able to find it, but they buried that thing. But if you can find it, watch it. It is great, and it was a huge coordinated effort by numerous parties to pull that off on January 6th.
Well, and, listen, I mean, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I do get it, if I do find it, I'm working with Ollie. Ollie is one of our, senior members here. That's a retired vet, a Navy vet, and he's very much into the technical cameras and green screens and all that, And what he set up a couple of video sites. Q17 News is one, and videosanctuary.com is another one. And what we've been doing is when, you know, because it was so hard when these videos came out, they immediately would ban them and take them down. So what we did is whenever something came out, we would screen capture it, and then we'd throw it up on this site so that it'd give people a place to go where they couldn't get it, where they couldn't be deleted.
Well, this thing belongs there if you can ever find it.
Well, I'll put it up there. I'll have Ollie put it up there if I can find it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work on a video that long. He's gonna holler at me. I'm giving him more work, because if it's 3 hours long, he's really gonna, you know how long it takes to do an hour video to render it and cut it, and oh my goodness.
Oh no, I have no idea. No, I don't know.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
But he did a fantastic expose. It's every bit as good, maybe even better than the first one she did, where she first got in trouble, you know. But like I said, it was up for maybe a couple of weeks or so, and it disappeared. Because,
well, if I get it, we're gonna have to break it up into parts. I don't think that we'll run a 3 hour. Well, I don't know. I'll talk to him about it. The logistics of it.
Two and a half. I'm pretty sure it was at least 2.5. I don't know if it
right,
was
which is
two,
long.
I'd say 2.5 to 3.
Right. So maybe we'll cut it in half or thirds or something like that. It just makes it more manageable for the site.
Well, you want to look for it if you haven't seen it, because it is really something. And there, you know, I get so ticked off when I hear these criminals in Washington now and these Democrats yelling and screaming about how Trump threatened their lives. Their lives were threatened with what he did, the insurrection on January
6th. And it was worse than 9/11.
And right. And Millie Weaver, she's got it. I mean, that's such bullshit what they're saying. She's got all this evidence, all these people she talked to and interviewed from all these different organizations and intelligence agencies and all this stuff. And it was, you'd be amazed at what.
Well, there's even camera footage that they didn't put out. There's camera footage of those people in there, and even of the cops letting them in. See, I caught this stuff in real time. I had people that were like, right there, and I got some of their stuff firsthand that they put out, and was able to watch it, practically live, and you never see that footage on the mainstream media ever.
No. I remember footage of somebody from inside the Capitol building opening some big window at ground level.
Yeah.
And handing out long sticks and clubs to people outside there. Did you ever see that?
I think I did that. They handed out
a couple of things, like a long pole and like a bat. I mean, from inside the building, from people in there, security, handing stuff out to the so-called rioters outside. Now,
I think that was Kevin Schiff. No, I'm not kidding. Whatever. Anyway.
Well, listen, Gerard, thank you. And again, you find that. And do you have any link to that site you mentioned that you guys do in your newsletter?
No, but we could put it in there. It's videosanctuary.com.
What is it?
Videosanctuary.com.
I'll try to remember that. But, if you guys, especially if you get that footage from Millie Weaver, if you can put a link or something on the newsletter, a lot of people, if they haven't got to see it, would like to see it.
Right. All right.
All right.
I'll do the best I can. Okay.
All right.
Have a good night. Well, that's going to wrap us up, folks. Thank you for coming. And like always, it's a pleasure.
That listing is in the newsletter near the top every week for the Video Sanctuary. Another one is Q17News.com.
Thank you. I didn't know that. I guess I should read them better. I think I'm on the inside, and I'm really on the outside. I get so busy, But the newsletter is good, and see, that's a source of information that's good. So hopefully I can find the Millie Weaver one he's talking about. I don't know. I'll see. Well, good show, everybody, and keep the faith, keep praying, and keep your powder dry. Hopefully you won't need it. Anyway, have a good night.